Welcome to New England Soccer Journal's The Goal Podcast, the podcast for serious soccer players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their soccer careers. And now, here's your host, Matt Langone.
Welcome into another episode of New England Soccer Journal's The Goal Podcast. Today I'll be joined by South Shore Select Executive Director Steve McAuliffe and Academy Director Brendan Hamilton. Guys, thanks for being here in studio.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Absolutely. We were just talking off air. It was a pretty terribly rainy day today. So I applaud you guys for Brendan. I know you're close, so it wasn't that much of a chore for you to get here. But for me it was, and that wasn't fun. But big news for the club. You guys are, South Shore Select is shifting over to ECNL Girls beginning next year, 2024-25, next season, moving from Girls Academy to ECNL. That's major news in the club world. I mean, ECNL is certainly happy to have you guys. They released a press release where they released their thoughts on having you guys and how that benefits the league. And for you guys, what does it mean to be joining ECNL and competitively and just for the future of the club?
Yeah. So first of all, we're super excited to be joining the platform. And as a club, we've been obviously kind of developing ourselves for the past 30 years. And we've tried to kind of work through and meet every challenge in our path. And most recently, we've been in the Girls Academy. We've had a good experience there. And now we have the opportunity to join the ECNL. And I think for our players, coaches, families, community, like, we're really excited for that next challenge. So we're super excited.
Brendan, how about you, just from your perspective, just moving over to ECNL?
Yeah, I think this, just like Steve said, this has been a long process for the club the past 25-30 years. I've been here for close to 8 years now, and just the ins and outs every day of how hard we work together and collaborate together. I think that we want to compete with the best of the best, and for us, we want to be the best of the best. And so no matter what that means, where that means, we're going to work hard every day to continue our process into making sure the next 25-30 years are just as important.
I think it's fair to say, and this is impressive because the club landscape nationwide is so huge. I mean, there's clubs everywhere, and the club soccer game is really continues to take off at a rapid pace. But South Shore Select is pretty much a brand name. I mean, ECNL Girls made it that way. It has shown that you guys are a brand name club. You're a good club. You're a top-notch level club. Allie Centner was just the number one pick in the NWSL draft. She's a South Shore Select product. So what does it mean just for you guys being part of the club and being there for the growth of it? How much has it really taken off over the last handful of years, and just the players that you guys have produced, and what kind of pride does that have for you guys?
I mean, tremendous pride. Like, when we saw Allie, like, selected number one overall, I mean, like, so many cheers behind the scenes. Like Allie was with us since she was 5 years old.
Right.
And, like, unbelievable family, unbelievable kid. Like, you know, give all the credit to the player, but behind the scenes, like, having her, and not just Allie, there's been so many kids that have now started to
right.
shine in, like, the national landscape as a club, and being part of, like, their lives. It's awesome to watch their successes, again, on and off the field. And I think that, I mean, Brendan and I talk a lot behind the scenes that we represent, like, a brand and a badge. And I think we take great pride in, like, really having kids be who they can be. Mm. And I think that that's been what we kind of strive to do. And we're certainly not perfect, and we make our share of mistakes, but I think that we try to invest in developing kids and families. And we hope that that allows them to be the best they can be. And through time, again, 20-30 years, like, we've represented, like, a family in a community. And I think that if we continue to kind of focus on what a badge and a brand means, it then hopefully, again, we continue to open doors to players at all levels. And I think that seeing our kids succeed now in the professional soccer world, U.S. national teams, Division I, II, and III colleges across the country, it's a testament to, like, the coaching staff, the players, the families. And I think that internally we worry about our badge. I think that we're fiercely competitive, and yet we try to hopefully do things the right way. And I think that we take great pride in that. So I think that the long term, now continuing to play on a platform that really showcases players, like, throughout the country, I think is really awesome for our kids and families.
That's, like, the dream for a club, right? You take a player in when they're 5 years old, you help them hone their game, they become a tremendous player at North Carolina, perennial powerhouse, probably the most successful women's soccer program in the country. Then they become the NWSL number one draft pick. I mean, that's just going to be a huge claim for South Shore. I mean, for the club.
She scored the other day, too.
I know. I mean, is she even 20 yet? I mean, I talked to her. She's still, she's still 19?
2004 birth year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she just turned
20, right? I talked to her about a month ago. So, I mean, sky is the limit for her as a player, and that's a South Shore Select product. So that's going to be that's what you're trying to do, right? I mean, duplicating that many times is hard to do, but that's the dream, right?
I think that creates the stories and the culture that you can bring to the future generations too. I mean, we have so many current players within the college game. I got a phone call last night, 9 p.m. A current player just got off the phone with Georgetown, committed to Georgetown last night.
Awesome.
And so we are really excited about all these stories that we can relate. I have 1,000 of them, but the younger generations, I think that they're looking up to their role models. They are probably rewatching that goal she scored over and over and over and over and over again. Left footed. I mean, she's a player that can use both feet. That's a great advantage for us when we bring it to training the next day. Hey, you got to be just as good with your weak foot too.
So
that player development, that person development, I think is really important. A lot of the college coaches that I talk to all the time who may currently have a player from Select really enjoy the players that they're getting and the people that they're getting. And they're from day one ready to participate as a team member and as a key role within their family and their new family. And that hopefully is something that we can continue moving forward with all the platforms and opportunities that we can still give the players.
It's also really neat. Like, I think that, and again, I don't have experience anywhere but Select, so I only know who we are. But bringing our kids back and having the younger players in our, like, in our player pool and population, like, have idols, right, and kids to look up to that have come through our program is powerful. And Lily Real, who is, like, at UCLA now and, like, unbelievable athlete and family, like, really, really, like,
All-American, everything,
Back 12 defender of the year.
Also was with us since she was 6 or 7 years old.
Right.
She came back to the fields recently and was talking to the kids, and it's so neat, like, to watch our players, like, celebrate, like, former Select player success.
Well, these are players that are going to be on the national landscape. I mean, Allie and Lily, I mean, they're going to be national level players like going forward. So for them to come back and talk to young players has to be a huge deal.
And we were just playing, actually, we just competed in an academy event on a national scale, and some of our older players sent like hype videos for our younger kids.
That's awesome.
We showed them a training session. So again, culturally, we hope to maintain our identity through and through and continue to kind of knock down every door that's like in front of us.
Right. And I know you guys, you're leaving the GA, but you thoroughly enjoyed your time in the GA, and it did well for the club. I mean, this is part of your story and part of your history in creating these players. So just reflect on the time that you guys just won the Champions Cup. Was it your, which side?
U19
team won at the Champions Cup a couple weeks back. So just reflect on what the GA has meant for the club.
Yeah, competitively. I mean, we, like I said before, we're always trying to be the best.
Yeah.
No matter where we are, no matter who we play against, we're not afraid to play against anybody. When we're on the field, we're going to give it our best. And I really enjoy sometimes, and I'm saying it a lot in recent training sessions, watching the eyes of the players and seeing how they can participate in big time championship level games. Our 2009 age group won the national championship last year. Our U19s this year, that was their last year, a lot of them, they're going to be moving on to college programs next year. And that's a really good, hopefully, precursor to what they're going to look like in the highest levels of the college game as well. And like the successes on the field, it's over time. It's a lot of work. It's been that 25, 30 year process to get all these talented level players in such a short radius that we're really pulling from too within the South Shore area. We have a couple different states here and there that join our highest level teams, but it's really a close knit group that when they're going to perform, like, we don't have 7 different regions within a state. We don't have a huge population maybe to pull from, but it's really amazing to watch these young players put that competitive hat on every day in training sessions, just as much as the games as well. We try to feel that the training sessions might be harder than some of the games. So for us, if we can continue to day in and day out competitively, no matter where we're playing, like I said, that we're still thinking of the next progression and the next opportunity that we have. Hopefully we're in in another championship level game and we can perform well in whatever capacity that is.
In the actual Champions Cup final, it was really neat because the 19s were playing on like the stadium field at IMG Academy, which is a really unbelievable like facility. And on the stadium field, all of our younger players were in the stands and there was like chants going back and forth between the team we were competing against and our players. Yeah. And I was talking to a few of the dads in the stands and I said, wow, like unbelievable. Like regardless of what happens, whether we win or lose this, like these kids are going to remember this forever. And I think that getting on a national platform and stage has really been good for kids.
That
and
was I think the hardest game I've ever had to coach because I couldn't say anything to any of the players because the chants from the crowd were too loud and from us, from them, it was a really exciting game.
I would love to give a shout out to that group of players like on our behalf as well.
Absolutely.
And just in like, I've said to a lot of the kids and families like behind the scenes, like how proud we are of that group. And like those kids, a lot of those kids have been with us, honestly, for a long time. Mm. So it's a kind of a credit to their journey and all their efforts to actually do that like on a national scene. So it was amazing, in my opinion. Just huge shout out to those kids.
Absolutely.
So now with the move to ECNL, do the players have any, I mean, do they react to that at all? Do they understand, like, cognizant of the difference between GA and ECNL? I mean, what's their kind of feel? Or are they just at soccer? We're gonna play soccer wherever we are.
Look, I think that kids are aware. I think that like the top players like are aware, but it's not their motivating or driving factor.
Sure.
I think that they want to be the best.
We've played all those clubs, in tournaments, in friendly matches, and so the kids, they're funny. They make friends wherever they go, and so like we're. Whoever we play against, we know it's a hard level Champions League match in an academy. Every ECNL conference game is going to be quite hard for us. And so I think that the factor of the competition increases a little bit and how they think of that. I don't think that they play for the league. I think they just, every time they step on there, they're looking to beat the opponent wearing a different color. And so that's the important piece of it.
We do like the current clubs that are in the ECNL region, like we do have good relationships with.
And Scorpions, FC Stars, those.
We're really excited to kind of like be partners and meet that challenge alongside them and have the utmost respect like for those organizations as well. So we're excited. We're really excited.
Do you anticipate like rivalry stuff with you guys and Scorpions, you guys and FC Stars? I mean, Scorpions is kind of in your general vicinity, right? Geographically. So like, I mean, does that stuff factor in at all or no?
When you're on the field, I think people might take it out of context a little bit with rivalries. We're pretty friendly with everybody who we play against and how we play against certain teams. Like you want to compete no matter what. You probably want to get the result of a win no matter what, who you play against. So we enjoy good battles. So credit to all those clubs that also give the best competition to us. We really enjoy as coaches against other coaches having really good friendly competitions within each other. It depends who you ask, maybe who the rivalry stands with.
I think Brendan's being nice. I think we're almost like competitive to a fault.
I mean, you have to be, right? So, I mean, you're looking for, you're all trying to land that. That's the answer I'm looking for.
I think Brendan's being nice. I think we're uber competitive. Yeah. And I think that, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure if I like to win, but I hate to lose.
Right.
And so whether you
call be losing a top-notch player to a different club or losing a game.
Just like, in general, we're uber competitive. And I think that like sometimes like we try to obviously be respectful, but like we're fiercely competitive.
Right.
And so when you say a rivalry, like anytime we step on the field, like I'm not thrilled if we lose.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. And I think to a certain degree, if we're going to be the best, like you have to have a mentality that says like we walk through those lines, like they're not our jersey color, like we're going to win.
Right.
And sure, off the field and after the game, we will shake hands and be respectful and carry ourselves the right way, but we're a little nuts.
We run a facility in Hingham, and one of my favorite leagues that we offer there is the over 40 men's league. When you get the Irish team versus the Brazilian team the field, you think that's probably going to be a big war happening on the field, but then afterwards, they're all 2 hours later up still.
But those wars on the field is why I don't play pickup soccer. Yeah, I can't risk the injury. I mean, those games are nuts. nuts. Those over 30, over 40 leagues. That's why I don't play anymore.
So we used to play. We had an over 40 team with all the dads, like Allie's dad and Lily's dad. We would play like together, like in our over 40 league. So it's like, again, kind of connecting all the dots.
Well, soccer, in my experience as an adult league, is different than like basketball. Basketball, I can like camp out in the corner and shoot threes and just maybe play some half-ass defense. But like in soccer, like there's inevitably going to be some dude who's taking your legs out for the ball. I mean, it's just there's guys who just don't know how to chill on the field, on the soccer field.
Yeah, correct. And we have boards in our facility, so you got to be...
Steve actually might be one of those players.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
So look, I think that that's kind of the excitement, right? I think that we're competitive, right? And I think that we're saying, like, what are you going to put in front of us? Like, let's go. Like, let's do it. And I that's really the mentality, like, to Brendan and to Driton and, like, the groups that are on the field day in and day out with the kids. I think that you have to create that mentality and environment for those players to say, like, you're not wearing a select badge, like, coming at you. Like, and again, not cheap or dirty, but like we're gonna come at you, and like you better be ready.
Well, as a observer of soccer here, I'm excited to see like FC Stars. I mean, that's just a good game within the game of two high level clubs that produce a ton of top college talent. I mean, that's a budding rivalry that I think people are going to look at. I mean, would you agree? That's fun to watch in the same conference.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, I think that that's part of it, right? Yeah. I think that sports are also like fun, and when you get to compete, like, so yeah, like when we get step on the field, and if we're playing against Stars, like we respect Stars, and we think Stars better be ready to play us,
right?
And vice versa, we better be ready to play them.
So, sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're pumped.
The GA is also expanding into Rhode Island, as we heard this week. They're adding Rhode Island Surf and Bayside. So, I mean, there's movements coming all over the club landscape. I mean, for you guys who are on the inside, how difficult is it, or how interesting is it to just navigate the ever-changing landscape of what club soccer is geographically?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah. I think that there are things that are in our control, and there are things out of our control. Hmm. So I think that... Through the course of time, we've tended to focus on things that can help us.
Yeah.
So I think that that'll always be the case. The landscape in most sports will continue to evolve, and I think that our job is to continue to like put ourselves in a position for people to want us in a certain way, right? So do the things right on and off the field to make sure that our brand, right, that is something that people would love to have us be a part of.
Right.
And I think that's the approach we tend to take. And again, as much as all things happen all the time, it's like we have a duty to our families and our players, and like whatever steps that means, it means. And we'll pursue things if it's possible, but it's really worrying about us first.
I think it's great that there's so many quality clubs out there that can potentially get a platform, can potentially get a pathway for their current players that they've probably worked hard to get as well. I think Steve is the biggest reason that we do focus on ourselves and that we are where we are as the leader of the club internally. Like, Steve always keeps us on the path forward and always make sure that our boat is trying to go faster than the next boat and trying to make it so that we're on the calm waters and not the rocky waters.
Right.
So all the credit to him. And so we definitely enjoy where we've got to and how performance-based, how culture-based, how club-based, how people-based that we have within our club actually can have great conversations with anybody and try to make sure that we're making it so that everybody who sees us is excited to see us, no matter if we're playing them on the field, off the field. I think that's an important piece to our puzzle. But again, all the credit to those quality clubs that can perform and put themselves on the map just as much as anybody.
Geographically, what's the furthest you guys are pulling players from? Is it pretty much just South Shore? Are you getting players from further away, or
primarily probably like a 15-mile radius?
I mean, that's impressive because it's not like you're taking players, people driving an hour to get there.
We certainly as the level, like at the highest levels, we'll certainly like pull players from different communities.
Right.
A little bit different expansion. Yeah.
But we're not. Not regionalized. We don't have programs in seven
all over the place,
all over New England. I mean, we call it our flagship.
Right. And
so from our flagship, you can probably draw a circle with a radius 10 to 12 miles. That's a good chunk of our players.
See, I would think, I would think that would benefit you guys as a club, because sometimes I feel like this is just from my perspective, the regionalized thing kind of, oversaturates it maybe a little bit, because you guys are sticking to what you are in that location and with the flagship. And I would think that it would help the club. Is that, did you guys think that's a benefit to the club, or?
I think that the most important piece to our club, so as a benefit side, is that obviously we have some facilities that we use quite often, so that a player like gets to also know us. So they might not play for Brendan, but when they walk through our doors, like they're like, oh, there's Brendan.
They know who he is, right.
So it becomes very familiar. And I, to your point, like let's say that we're in eight different spots, like not everyone would know Coach Brendan.
Well, clubs like to use the buzzword. I mean, so. And my kids play club sport. I mean, clubs like to use the buzzword family. I mean, family doesn't exist if you don't know who half the people are when you walk into a building. So I think it's a better thing when you know who people are when you walk
in.
And
again, we have our own indoor complex, right? So when we're in control of that. So literally the entire probably 3 to 4 months a year, kids are coming in that front door. Right? And we hope to be like the cheers of the soccer world, right? Where everyone knows your name. And I think it's powerful for a family that has young kids to walk through our door and say, wow, four coaches like knew who my child was.
Right.
Like, there's like a safety.
Oh, me, it goes a long ways. When people know who your child is and know the name of your child and know your name as a parent, that goes a long way.
So are we certainly like always kind of looking for other opportunities? Absolutely.
Right.
But do we have like a home that'll always be our home? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
It is interesting though, like clubs expanding. I mean, do you guys see that down? Is that just kind of the nature of the beast though, that at some point you have to expand into regions? Is that kind of like just the way the animal is right now in club sports?
I think that like behind expansion, right? And so like Brendan's always working with like our, like the top tiers, right? To a certain degree, the piece of expansion that's helpful, right? Is that you have like a larger player pool that says, hey, like instead of 300 players to get the top 15, now we have 600 players. So I think that it's something people talk about a lot. Yeah. I think expanding sounds easy. I think to do it the right way, I think, is the challenge, because I think you just lose a little bit of the personalization. But conceptually, yes, so that you can continue to draw like again, the best. I think ultimately, if we go back to like, we want to win and we want to be the best. So it's something we're certainly, certainly we're doing.
Right.
So.
Logistically, are there any things that the club needs to do before making the switch to ECNL? Or is it just you guys just convert over to that league when the next season starts? Is it just simple as that? Or are there any other things you guys have to do?
So yeah, we're finishing out our
the GA season with the
GA, which hopefully ends in July in St. Louis if we're in a
with a couple championships. Yeah.
That's always the goal, no matter where we are. Yeah, right. And then the transition will then happen August 1st for us, and the ins and outs of things. Like obviously, we have to do our homework on what the challenge is, what the logistics are, and what a calendar looks like for the whole year. We're pretty spot on of keeping up with the landscape, making sure we know where we're traveling to for events, where our league games are, what the conference schedule currently looks like. So we kind of have more internal projects going on within the logistics of it, and then any things that we have to abide by through the ECNL.
Look, like we want to be a really good like partner for these as well. So on our end, it's making sure that we're doing everything like in our power to like, when we go in, like we want to go in and like compete and be the best. So like we're trying to prep to be like a really good like partner and teammate for our next journey.
Right. Overall, do you feel like there's a buzz within the club? Are people excited about this move? Do you feel like, or is it just not really settling in yet? Or?
No. I do think there's a buzz. Yeah. I think anytime that there's change, it's how do you like navigate change internally. But I think that there's a buzz. I think there's excitement, and our job is to navigate that the right way.
Right.
Be honorable to like families and kids that have been with us, and how do you start to handle that buzz? But yeah, there's a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this is going to be very interesting to watch. It'll be cool to see. It's gonna be weird seeing South Shore Select under that ECNL. You know, I'm used to seeing it under those GA conference standings, so it'll be interesting to see the switch to ECNL and see how it all pans out. And we're gonna transition over now to our extra time segment with our producer David Yaz, where he's gonna hit us with three random questions. And hope you guys are ready for this. This could be interesting.
I'm kind of nervous.
I've actually got more than three questions today, because this is a special edition of Extra Time.
It's the end of regulation, so let's move to Extra Time.
Our panelists are completely unprepared for this, So I have no idea how this is going to go, but welcome to the Celebrity Soccer Fantasy Draft.
Oh wow.
That's right. I love it. That's right.
I knew it was going to be that.
All right. This will be a 3-round draft. I've put a list on the board here. I hope you guys can see it. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of? Okay.
I think I can.
I'll run down a list of, I don't know, we've got like 12, 13 odd celebrities here. It'll be a 3-round draft.
Perfect.
And Matt, you will go first, followed by Brendan and then Steve. And then, Steve, you will get the extra pick because we're going to do a snake draft.
Yeah, you guys, I'm of glad course. It's a snake draft. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll get third and fourth. There are no rules other than you have to pick a celebrity. And these celebrities are known to at least be enthusiastic about soccer. I'll read them real quick.
Yeah.
Actor Damian Lewis, who's known for Billions and Homeland, of course. Actress Millie Bobby Brown from the TV show Stranger Things. She's short, but she has magical powers. singer Justin Bieber, if anyone's interested in him. He apparently is a soccer enthusiast himself. King Charles III needs no introduction. Will Ferrell, who he's played a little soccer in his time and starred in the movie Kicking and Screaming.
He owns the club, too.
Yeah,
does he really?
Yeah.
Okay, but you shouldn't reveal that information before the draft. Keep it to yourself.
I don't know if they're going to pick Will Ferrell.
Funny man and TV host Jon Stewart, who actually played soccer at William & Mary, which I didn't know until today.
I did not know that. Yep. Wow.
Actor and nutcase Tom Cruise, who actually did play high school soccer and is sometimes seen at LA Galaxy games. Actor Channing Tatum, known best for Magic Mike. He's pretty buff. Think about that. Rocker Rod Stewart, who did play as a young boy and actually in 1960 tried out for the third division club, Brentford FC. If you draft the person, this is a fantasy draft, so you get them in their prime. This particularly applies for Sean Connery, who wouldn't be much of a draft pick these days. He's no longer with us. But he was a soccer enthusiast as a young man. Reggae legend Bob Marley, who definitely kicked the ball around in his native Jamaica. Actor Antonio Banderas, who we all know as Puss in Boots from the Shrek movie. Celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, who was raised in Stratford, England, and actually played for the Warwickshire U14 soccer team and got a tryout with the Glasgow Rangers. And finally, he may be the sleeper. NBA legend Steve Nash, who once said that if he ever chose soccer over basketball, he could have turned pro, but wow, he did not. So we'll kick off with round one. And again, only 3 rounds here. So Matt, you're on the clock.
I'm going to go with Steve Nash. It was an easy pick as soon as I saw him. He's one of my favorite basketball players of all time, but also like, if you ever listen to Steve Nash do interviews, I think he regrets not being a soccer. I think he would have preferred to be a soccer player over a basketball player. I mean, he loves the sport. I think his brother played professionally, actually, too. Okay. So I'm going to go Steve.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go Steve Nash one.
All right. You made that first pick. Yeah. You made the first pick count. Very good. Well, Brendan,
we'll be wearing out that sound effect.
It's already annoying. I admit it.
Keep it going.
I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go Bob Marley.
Think wow.
The international, not a United States player. We're going to go with the Jamaican
international
player.
Sure, yeah. And he might have some nutritional things to share with his teammates before the game, just to get him loose.
We'll get focused. Yeah, yeah.
All right, to conclude round one, Steve, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chef Gordon Ramsay.
Wow. Gordon Ramsay, wow.
Yeah, I know. It might be an early pick for Gordon Ramsay. Well, however,
your pre-game meal.
Pre-game meal will be phenomenal.
You're going to be prepared.
Yeah.
Oh, so is that the thinking? The ultimate motivator?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to come at this.
You're only as good as your pre-game spread, so.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
All right. All right. That's round one. And Steve, since it is a snake draft, you get to pick first in round two.
Oh, I'm going with Coach Will Ferrell. It's going to be my
I like it. I like that.
A lot of personality on this team.
Brings an intensity to the game that we need.
All right. Also, keep everybody loose with some laughter. Oh, okay. Anyway, back to you, Brendan, for your second pick.
I'm going
to
keep the music theme involved in my group. I'm going to go with Bieber. I'm going to go with Justin
Bieber. Wow. An upset.
The Biebs.
Yeah. An upset pick there.
The Biebs and Marley, would they get along? I think they probably would.
You got
my wife would appreciate the music part of this draft.
You got two different styles of music, a Jamaican and a Canadian, and it'll make for an interesting team.
Yeah.
All right. We come to you, Matt.
I'm going with my guy, Sean Connery.
Nice.
I mean, obviously, he would be living if I had him, but the combination of him and Nash, I think, would be formidable. And so we'll go with Sean Connery.
All right.
break out my cleats, Moneypenny. Very good. So now I want you to think about this one, Matt, because it is your final pick in the draft. Wow. So far, you have Steve Nash and Sean Connery. Round out your squad now.
Who's left on the board here? I'm going to go. Nobody took John Stewart, huh?
Right.
I can't take Tom Cruise because he's a nut job, as you said. So I will go with John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Gives us a little intelligence. I had no idea. You said he played at William & Mary?
Yeah.
Division one soccer player. All right. Wow. I mean, that's going back ways, but hey.
Yeah. Not known for their sports programs, but
still.
I know. But fine pick. Okay. Now we move to Brendan for his final pick.
I got no Americans on my team, but I think I'm going to keep that going. I'm going to go Antonio Banderas.
Ooh, oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. Brings the Latin feel.
Yeah.
He looks like a soccer player. I don't know how good he is, but he does look
like half the part. It's like when I play golf. If I look like I know how to play, that's all that matters.
All right. Well, we are up to Mr. Irrelevant, the final pick in the draft. Final goes to you, Steve. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with a shout out to my kids in Stranger Things with Millie Bobby Brown.
Nice.
We can
nice.
Take some magical powers on our team. Yeah.
You have Will Ferrell.
Yeah, we're in good shape.
Well, when all of a sudden the ball starts to levitate and head towards your opponent's goal, who's responsible for that? So just to recap, Matt's Marauders consist of Steve Nash, Sean Connery, and John Stewart. Good Brendan's team. Brendan's Ballers, Bob Marley, Brendan and the Whalers, maybe. Bob Marley, Justin Bieber, and Antonio Banderas. Wow. And Steve's Slayers, Chef Gordon Ramsay, Will Ferrell, and Millie Bobby Brown. I can't wait for the tournament. And the great thing about this is everybody wins. Congratulations.
That was fun. Steve, your team is that's an eclectic bunch on that squad. I like that team. Best pregame meal for you. Best pregame music definitely goes to Brendan's squad. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
Nice good stuff, relax. David. That was awesome. And fellas, thanks for joining the show today. I'm glad we were able to chat. I know you guys are busy with here in the middle of club season, so it's got to be probably busy next couple months for you guys, right?
Yeah, crazy few months ahead.
Yeah. Well, best of luck, and we'll obviously be keeping tabs on the move to ECNL next season as well, but thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
And thanks again to our producer, David Yaz. I'm Matt Langone. Thanks for listening. New England Soccer Journal's The Goal Podcast is a Siemens Media production.
You've been listening to New England Soccer Journal's The Goal Podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to our podcast. Or visit nesoccerjournal.com/podcast. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.